Hebrews 6, verse 18. These two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he makes a promise, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. These things encourage us who came to God for safety. They give us strength to hold on to the hope we have been given. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and strong. It enters behind the curtain in the most holy place in heaven, where Jesus has gone ahead of us and for us. He has become the high priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek. This is the word of our God.
Thank you very much, Sister Chloe. Thank you very much, Serena and the worship team, for a wonderful time of worship. So, as we bring the slides, today the passage is from Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is kind of a book that's a little bit, sometimes a little bit complicated, a little bit, it's full of amazing truths, but it's deep, you know, sometimes it's a little bit much of like explanations. Hopefully, that's why I chose this, the reading from the New Century Version. You know, it's a simplified version, still quite literal, but simplified, that helps us to understand a little bit of the language, like a bit more immediately, and help us to follow along with the reading. This is a verse that has been on my mind for quite a couple of months during this year, just like thinking about this striking image and this striking truth from Hebrews chapter 6. Hope. We have this hope. We have this hope like an anchor, an anchor. Hope like an anchor. This is the thing that we want to reflect on. I think it's something that is timely for us to reflect on as we reflect on this year together. Hope as an anchor that we have. Let's go to God in prayer first. Father, we give you thanks for your word, the wonderful, deep, deep truths that we receive from your revelation through the word that you have given us. Lord, we receive this today with thanksgiving, recognition of your grace and your mercy throughout this year, Lord, your compassion, your hand of sovereignty over all the circumstances that we face this year. Lord, your word says this remarkable truth. We have this hope as an anchor, Father. By your Spirit today, I pray that you illuminate our hearts and our minds to understand as we reach another dawning of another year, Lord, that we will grasp this truth deep in our hearts, in our souls, and in our spirits. We have this unshakable hope as an anchor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 20 years ago, you know, for us movie buffs, cinema history was made when we, Christopher Nolan, this director, came on the scene and redefined the superhero movie genre with this movie in epic fashion. The movie was called Batman Begins. You know, this was like 2005, or 20 years now. I remember that time, you know, it came out to much acclaim. And you were born to be recognized as the first of this series of three movies by Christopher Nolan. They came to be recognized as highly acclaimed masterpieces in cinema. And that first movie that started it all in 2005 was called Batman Begins. You know, it was a reboot of a franchise that had kind of like lost its way. And it introduced this whole new generation of moviegoers to this gritty, realistic, intense, new iteration of Batman and the whole cast of other characters. And early on in this first film, you know, there was this remarkable action sequence that happened, spectacularly choreographed as a way, you know, one of the first instances where Batman appears to introduce this new character again, this old character, but reintroduce him as new, to establish who this new Dark Knight is and to set the tone for this whole movie, set the tone for the whole series. And this setup this scene became one of the most remembered, most iconic scenes in cinematic history. And how it goes is that it's nighttime. The rain is battering down on a relentlessly on this dark Gotham City, you know, a place that has been overwhelmed for the longest time by corruption, by crime. And out of the shadows in this dark alley, the new Batman, played by Christian Bale, suddenly, you know, there's this figure that's walking in the darkness, and then a rope whips around the leg of this figure and hoists him up 70 feet into the air. And as this person dangles in fear, this corrupt detective, out of the darkness, then we suddenly see the face of Batman appears. And as this corrupt detective is dangling there, then we hear the gritty, gravelly voice that will become iconic and remembered forever, associated with Batman. The voice of Christian Bale's Batman as he interrogates this corrupt detective. Terrified for his life then, the crook, he insists that he's already told Batman everything that he knows, you know, and then he says that I'm telling the truth. And then he swears to God. And at this moment then comes the most memorable line in the film. One of the most memorable lines that becomes now famous, this one-liner that Batman growls in his memorable voice, you know, with rage. Swear to me! And this scene then was meant to set the whole tone for the movie and what is the rest that's to come in the series. What are we to expect from this new Batman? The action, the line, you know, it was all meant to instill this huge gravity. The gravity of what is before these characters right now, what is happening, the gravity of the character, the gravity of the film to the audience, that this new Batman, he means business, that he's taking care of business in this town. Out of the darkness of Gotham, now comes this new Dark Knight. He's going to handle things his way. Swear to God, no, swear to me. And I would argue that this is exactly the same case, similarly with the book of Hebrews. Out of the darkness of severe persecution, of a bleak, dark period, in a new church that was founded, you know, the Jewish Christians, they were spread out into the whole diaspora to where, you know, the Greek world was. And they faced persecution, they faced difficulty, they faced hardship. And the church was under the threat. These early dangers that the early church had to face. And out of this dark scenario comes this groundbreaking letter, the letter of the Hebrews, to come and reintroduce the weary and discouraged Christians to the supreme Jesus Christ. Come and know him once again. Come and know him as God's final revelation, the vastly superior, the eternal hero compared to all the other heroes in Jewish history that have come before. The one, the final one, the ultimate one that is mightily able to save all who draw near to God through him. And out of this landmark letter then, full of powerful, deep lines of powerful truth, we have this amazing, remarkable, memorable one-liner of truth here in our passage today. We have this hope as an anchor. And what is this hope? We are told this in verse 17, in verse 18. It's these two things. These two things we have, God's two unchangeable things, as we've just read in verse 18. The two unchangeable things that God gave us, his promise, and then he backed up his promise with the strongest guarantee of all that anyone could give, that God backs it up with an oath. An oath that he swore upon himself, upon his own name. As verse 17 explains to us, you know, God wanted to prove that his promise was true to those who would get what he promised. And he wanted them to understand clearly that his purposes never change. And so he made an oath. And then verse 13 before that explains to us that because God has no one else that's greater to swear upon, so he swore by himself, by his own name. This is God's absolute cinema, is the book of Hebrews. And this is God's swear to me moment. Except it's like infinitely, thousand million times infinitely greater than that. God makes a promise, and that should be enough. You know, that the Creator God who spoke nothing, out of nothing, he spoke everything into existence, and by his word that he has spoken, he sustains everything. And if he were to remove his word, we all fail to exist. The universe collapses upon itself. He owes nothing to anyone. He created by all things by his word. And yet, for the sake of us, for the sake of our faith, he backs up his promise with an oath that he swears upon nothing greater than himself, his own name. So have we ever considered, you know, the remarkable gravity, the greatness of what is here before us today? Right here on this page, an amazing truth in just three short verses, yet full of the strongest guarantee of hope in this whole universe that anyone could ever give, in all the history of the world. You know how in Singlish, can't stand this, but it's wrong, no? But we have this term, double confirm, right? You say in Singapore, double confirm, double confirm. You know, and it's a phrase that doesn't make sense at all, you know? It's redundant, you know? Confirm means confirm, no need to double confirm. But yet here, you know, in Scripture, if there ever was a case where we can approve of double confirm, where this phrase double confirm is not redundant, actually makes sense, this is the case, you know, that God doesn't need to swear by himself. He says it, it's confirmed already, confirmed, fully confirmed, more than anyone. You know, as it says in Scripture, God is not a man that he should lie. And there is no one greater than God who created the universe out of nothing, upholds all things by his words. You know, yet, you know, God backs up his promise with an oath. You know, he double confirms. So the only acceptable use of double confirm, actually, you know, is here in Scripture. God, in that sense, double confirms by his promise with an oath. You know, so friends, as we gather here, you know, and we reflect on the year that has passed, you know, things that have happened, let us also reflect the gravity, this double confirm, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God has promised, God has sworn with an oath. Have the trials and the challenges of this year left us feeling, you know, physically worn, spiritually tired as well? Yet, look here, we have this hope that is an anchor for our souls. Church, have the discouragements led to depression, led to doubt this year, doubt in the promises of God? But here we see, God has promised his purpose for your life, and he has sworn by himself that what he has promised will stand. And brothers and sisters, have you been anxious with uncertainty as we look ahead to what the turn of the year will bring for us? Let us look again to his word, to the certainty of the word that God has spoken, and remind ourselves that what God has promised, Christ has done. And therefore, you know, what he has sworn, God will do, because he has done it all through Jesus Christ. And in fact, for ourselves, you know, just 2 weeks ago, Lorraine and myself, we received some tough news. And there and then, you know, I recited this message back Laureen and myself, we reminded ourselves of this message. Say, this is the thing that, you know, going to say, hope as an anchor. Remember the promise of God to Abraham. He hoped against hope. We reminded ourselves, and there we prayed and took action. Brothers and sisters, you know, because of this God's promise accompanied by his oath, we have this hope as an anchor in Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, press on to the purposes for your life. You know, press on even when there are storms in life, because we have hope as an anchor. And so in this short passage, you know, I just want to quickly highlight three takeaways from God's promise with an oath here that will help us to press on in hope. The first thing, we should press on to his purposes, because God's promise with an oath gives us, firstly, strong encouragement. So verse 18 in the ESV version that we normally use tells us that as a result of these two unchangeable things that God has given us, his promise backed up with his oath, we now have, and the term, you know, translated there, strong encouragement. And that word actually is a compound word, paraklesis, the Greek word. It has a compound sense of two words, para, which is coming alongside, and then kaleo, you know, is a calling to. So we have the sense, we have this picture of that in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our struggle, we have someone who comes alongside, shouting out, calling to us, encouragement alongside us, calling out instruction to us in our confusion. Have you had times this year where the storms of life have tossed your ship all around and it feels like you've lost all your bearings? Which way do we go now? What step do we take? How then are we going to find our way back to the shore? But first, friends, we have someone who is calling alongside us, calling out in these times, encouragement and instruction. How is that? First, we have God's promise to his word. We have God's clear instruction that is always calling out to us by his voice in the word. It's constantly there, it's constantly true. It's like a constant compass that points us again true north. When the ship is lost, it points us true north towards all his promises that we have in Jesus Christ. And even more, besides God's promise that always calls out by his voice in his word, backing it up, we have God's living oath that is living and comforting us. And we ask, how can an oath be living and comforting? It's because God's word says this in 2 Corinthians 5:5, that God gave us his Holy Spirit deposited into us, and the word he uses there is as a down payment. In other words, like, you know, the first payment, the guarantee, just like when you buy a house, you give the deposit first, the down payment, it's guaranteed. We have the guarantee of God, the pledge of God, in other words, the oath of God, of what he has promised, he has guaranteed by a living oath, his own spirit deposited in us, that what he has promised, he will give us in full. And this living oath, this person of the spirit that lives in us, Jesus said also in John 14 verse 16, what is the name that Jesus used of this living oath? He calls him, in the Greek word that Jesus uses, the paraclete, the one who is the encourager, the counselor, that he may be with you forever. So brothers and sisters, you know, have you felt times this year where you felt so alone and so abandoned by God, abandoned by hope? But because of God's pledge to us, the encourager, the counselor that's permanently indwelling in each and every one of us, from the moment that we believed in the promise of Jesus Christ, we received his living oath towards us. We are never, 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 never alone if the Spirit dwells in us. We are never apart. We are never abandoned from God's help. from God's hope. So in the dark of night, in the midst of the storm, we have an encourager, we have the helper, and he sends out from deep, cries out to deep, he sends out calls of encouragement, of guidance to those who would listen, reminding us of the hope that we have in God's promises. And then thirdly, just as much, we have so great a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, who are surrounding us as well. If we have fellow brothers and sisters who are all indwelt by that same Holy Spirit to lift each other up, to encourage each other to keep running this race that we are running with endurance. Just as Lorena and myself, you know, were encouraged by your prayers and your words. Let us not neglect building up one another and supporting one another with that mutual fellowship that we have through the Holy Spirit. This is the great blessing of God's people. We have received, you know, in triplicate, we have received strong encouragement through God's promises in His Word, His voice ever living and ever speaking to us. And if it's not enough, we have through God's living oath of the Spirit in each of us, the helper, the encourager, who calls out to us encouragement and guidance. And then also, if each of us, our brothers and sisters, who are all indwelt by that same encourager, we have this encouragement through the fellowship that we have through the Spirit. Firstly, we have this strong encouragement in triplicate because of God's promises and God's oath. Secondly, we should continue to press on to God's promises, to His purposes, because God's promises with an oath gives us hope as an anchor. If you look carefully at verse 19, what he says, that those who have trusted in God's promise now have this hope, not just as any anchor, but an anchor of the soul. What does this mean? It means for us that firstly, it is not a physical, natural, and temporary hope in this world. It's not dependent on anything in this world. And so it's not possibly shaken by anything in this world. And that's what makes this hope sure. And it also means that neither is it a hope of this world that can be understood by this world. And therefore, brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged when all the world should turn against you, when all the world should laugh in the moments when you're down and call you weak and stupid. Don't lose heart when they mock you as a failure or as a loser for not taking the easy way out. Because of this, we have this hope that's external from this world, not understood by them. This hope is steadfast and strong. For the hope that we have, where is it found? It says in the verses before us, verse 19, it has entered within the veil. You know, it's gone past the crowds of people. It's entered into the most holy place in heaven, in the presence of God. It's something discerned by the Spirit. And it's the path that has now been opened to us forever through Jesus Christ. And we now have this privileged access into the presence of God, access to the Father at all times. So brothers and sisters, forget all these other voices in the world. Let us therefore, you know, train our minds to leave behind the things of this world. Because our hope is not found in the multitude of voices that are always clamoring for more of our attention, for so much noise but so little substance. Rather, let us continue to fix our minds on the things that are above. Let us continue to use that privilege that we have been given, even to exhaust it fully, the benefits that are ours, the access to our Heavenly Father with prayers, with petitions, with crying out, with tears, with even loud crying. Because the way to our Father has been open wide forever. So why? Why should we hold back? Just because other people say it doesn't make sense. Just because people do not see, do not understand what we have. But it's ours. It's ours to use and to exhaust. So church, brothers and sisters, come. Don't hold back and unburden your souls. And once again, I invite you to center our spiritual eyes on our hope that is beyond the veil, beyond what natural eyes can see. And that is where our anchor must be fixed. Just as the ship is held by an anchor that is cast deep into the unseen depths that go beyond the surface. Brothers and sisters, let's go deep in prayer, in worship, in seeking the presence of God, deep past the stormy surface in this world, down to the deep waters. That's where you'll see more clearly through the eyes of faith the immeasurable wealth of treasure of God's promise that awaits all those who would fix their hope on Him. If the world is like a sea, full of storms and full of tribulations, and this is the only promise that Jesus ever made regarding the world to His disciples, in this world you will have trouble. And of course, the other promise is that, you know, that in this world will pass away. This world you will have trouble. Brothers and sisters, don't give up. If the world is like a sea, you know, storms of tribulation all around, but let us train ourselves to go deep, to cast our anchor deep, pierce through the waves, pierce through the sound waves of the voices. You know, go past every hindrance, every lofty and wild imagination that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And let us pierce heaven with our prayers, not stopping until the anchor finally reaches the depths, hits that solid ground, and our eyes and our minds are fixed again on God as the author and the perfecter of our faith. Then surely then, church, even though the outer vessel of our ship may be battered and bruised by the storms, yet we can sing, "It is well with thy soul," because God has promised with His oath, and therefore we have hope as an anchor for our souls. And finally, we should press on to His purposes, because our hope is found in the Lord. Jesus Christ Himself became our hope. And so when we speak of hope, you know, we have these two senses of the word. Firstly, we can refer to the verb hope. You know, I hope in something, I desire, I expect, my expectation, my trust. And we tell one another in this sense, tell them, keep on hoping, keep on expecting, keep on trusting, keep hoping. We tell one another, we speak in that sense of the verb, keep hoping. And yes, you know, it means that as well. It means that earlier in Hebrews. And while it means that here also what is spoken, it's not just the verb, but the noun as well. The object of faith, or the object of hope itself, in which our subjective hope is placed in. So we could say then, it is the object, the hope object that we hope in, is spoken of here as well. So if you see what verse 19 and verse 20 makes clear, it says we have this hope. So firstly, verse 19, we have this hope. It's talking about the verb there. We have this expectation. And then the language changes. We have this hope. It enters. This hope becomes personified. It's able to enter. It's a thing. It's a person. It's the person who enters behind the veil into the most holy place. This object of hope, this person of hope, has gone before us into the presence of God. And this is getting exciting now. It's building up to something amazing. And then we come to verse 20 and it says, where Jesus has gone ahead of us and for us, the hope now becomes clearly personified. It's the person of Jesus Christ, none other than Jesus, who has become our advocate, he's become our representative, he's become our great, perfect high priest forever, bringing us into the presence of God, and there we get to stay forever. Jesus has brought us into this relationship with God that was once out of our reach, and into the privilege of this fellowship with the Almighty God, into the blessings of belonging to Him. This is the great, unshakable hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That as long as this person of hope, Jesus Christ, lives, we have our hope alive, risen, victorious, undefeated, that neither death nor the gates of hell can ever prevail over it. In that sense, then, Jesus, in Jesus Christ, we have not just a double confirm, but we actually have a triple confirm, better than Singlish. God's word, God's oath, and God's son, the fulfillment of God's promises and God's oath. He's our yes, he's our amen, our eternal hope, that all of God's purposes will prevail for us because Christ has gone ahead of us and before us to secure it for us. That is the security of our hope. And of course, I realized as I was preparing this that in the end, this triple confirm actually is what we sing in the song, you know, on Christ the solid rock I stand, you know, beautifully. When we sing, remember this, you know, his oath, his covenant, his blood. That's the triple confirm that he's talking about here in Hebrews. You know, support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and my stay, my security. Because of this triple confirmation, his covenant, his promise, his oath that he swore by, and then the blood, Jesus Christ, what Christ the Son has accomplished for us, the fulfillment of God's promises forever through the cross of Jesus Christ. The triple confirmed hope that we have from Christ, the solid rock. And that's why in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And in fact, this is what the picture we have here in verse 20. And if you go back again to the ESV, it says actually for us, Jesus became our forerunner. And because the term here uses is a figurative term, it gives us the picture of one that has ran ahead of us, has gone ahead. A word that is used for like a messenger that goes ahead of us. Or in sailing, they use it as a picture of like, it means like an advanced ship that goes ahead. And perhaps this is what the writer may have been picturing here as he wrote this. When he talks about the anchor, he uses these like sailing metaphors. Just in the olden days in the Mediterranean area, in the harbors, there would be this large, huge stone that's immovable, and it'll be solidly embedded into the ground near the water's edge. And these stones were known as the ancoria, the anchor. And the practice of the time is that when a ship had a difficulty making its way back into the harbor because of like the stormy conditions, you know, low visibility, and it was hard to control the sails and to guide them back to shore, then these ships would rely on a forerunner, a small boat who would go ahead of them to the shore. They would carry a line from the ship, and then they would go to shore, and then they would fasten that line to the anchoria stone. And so that anchor stone then, you know, it's well above the waves, you know, it's unmoved by the winds because it's embedded in the solid ground. It stood sure and strong, and as long as the anchor holds, you know, though all the conditions may rage around, yet the ship was held safe and secure throughout the storm. Until finally, that long-awaited moment when the light begins to pierce the gloom and the clouds part and the sun breaks forth again from the skies. And at long last, no more sailing. And on the strength of the anchor, the ship is pulled back in safely to the harbor. Brothers and sisters, this is just like the hope as an anchor that we have in Jesus Christ, who has entered now into the very presence of God and has forever secured our salvation. According to God's promises, He made before the foundation of the world, above all the seas and the storms in this world, it was established in eternity long ago. It's embedded solidly in the heart of God, far above anything that can be found here below. It's untouched, and it's impossible to be shaken by the conditions of anything in this created universe. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, nor trials, nor tribulations, nor persecution, nor famine, nor nakedness, nor danger, nor sword. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God is found in Jesus Christ. That God has promised His love to us, God has sworn it by Himself, and God has done it through Jesus Christ on the cross. Forever, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls, safe, secure, and strong. Therefore, church, you know, whatever that has happened this year, whatever the things that are to come as we reach the dawning of a new year, church, I encourage us to press on with hope in this purpose that God has given for each of our lives, the purpose that He has given for us as a church here as well. He's kept us safe and secure. He's kept us sailing steadfast. And by His grace, by the anchor that we have in Jesus Christ, we will continue sailing according to the purposes of God until we reach that harbor that He wants us to reach. So church, press on in His promises, press on in His purposes with hope. And though the storms may rage, you know, though all around us is sinking sands, yet church, by the line of faith that is placed in our forerunner, Jesus Christ, fix your life on Christ, who's seated now in the heavenlies. He's gone beyond the veil. And that's where He sits. It's our solid rock forever. And there we will find, no matter what happens in this world, beyond the veil, true faith, our souls, our life, we can say it is well because we have this unshakable hope as an anchor through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you will seal this word to our hearts. This great word, we have hope as an anchor. We have hope as an anchor, no matter what the storms have been in life, and we have faced some through these years as a church, in our own personal lives, Lord, even in this year, whatever the challenges, Lord, we fix our line to pierce beyond the storms, beyond the surface, knowing that we have this anchor of the soul, sure and secure. Because God, our Lord Jesus, you are ever living, you have gone before us, you have made a way, you have opened up the way, Lord, and now you sit in the heavenlies, beyond the veil, in the presence of God, as our great high priest forever. Father, I pray that you'll give this strong encouragement to my brothers and sisters as we face the new year. That whatever uncertainty, we can face it, knowing for sure we have this hope as an anchor in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for this word, for this assurance that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.